The table was set. The meal was completely prepared. Jesus sent the disciples out to figure it all out, and now the hour had come. They were gathered together in this place. They were gathered at the invitation of hope. Do you ever wonder what Jesus was thinking as he gathered them at that table? What in the world could he have hoped for in this meal? When I plan a meal, I hope the food will be good. No food poisoning. I'm not Jane. I'm not a cook. When I plan a meal, I hope the people will get along with one another. Oh, Lord, you should see my family sometime. Mostly Andre's family, not my family. Truth? Truth? Yes. I hope that people will be nourished and filled. But at this table, when Jesus gathered all of those men and those women, what could he have hoped? Did he hope that the broken bread and the crushed grapes would take on new symbolism for them? Did he hope that they would get a glimpse of what he was trying to teach? Did he hope that liars and betrayers and doubters would understand that they were the forward guard, that they were the ones who would receive and carry this message of hope into the world? What could he have hoped at that meal? Did he hope that the pain of body broken and blood poured out would be bearable? Did he hope that it was worth it? Think about it. Think about who was gathered with him. And beloved, at that table, there was no finery. At that table, in somebody's borrowed upper room, I don't even think that there were napkins or individual chargers. Nope. At that table, it was simply a gathering of souls who were glad to be with their leader, who had followed him, who had seen the miracles, and all they knew was that he said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this meal." Did they wonder if there would be more miracles? Were they looking for more manna from heaven or coins in fishes' mouths? What did they think would happen at this table? Might it have been what they didn't want? Might it have been that which was broken was going to bring life, and that which was poured out was going to bring health? At this table, could they have imagined that a meal that represented the ultimate hope of their people, the Passover meal, would again let death pass over? Might they have thought that the bread that was before them would be for all of those who believed in Jesus, new life, that they would have everything they needed because bread was a sign of plenty? Did they think they were about to inaugurate something brand new, something fabulous at this table? And then, when Jesus starts saying, "My body broken, my blood poured out, and I am not going to do this again until the fullness of the kingdom have come." When the table was set and when they were gathered, for what did they hope? None of us hope for difficulty. None of us hope for pain. None of us hope for our dreams being dashed, even when we know that on the other side of that may be something fabulous will come. We want not to go through what one author calls the dark night of the soul. We don't hope for the difficult things. But beloved, if we're going to understand what Paul meant in that Romans verse you heard Sandy read, may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace so that you overflow, so that you abound in hope by the power of the Spirit. If we're going to understand that kind of hope, for that was the kind of hope Jesus held, then we've got to get closer to what it means. Because when we use the word hope in our everyday language, we have this ephemeral, this sort of wishy-washy, I hope my food will be good enough. I hope they will get along. I hope they will be nourished and fulfilled. But that is not the understanding of hope as it is used by Jesus or in the biblical writ. No, the hope that is abounding at this table, the hope that was meant to hold the disciples that night, the hope that's meant to hold you and me has a much different understanding. The Greek word is in the right-hand corner. It's elpis. But what it means is a joyful, confident expectation of something that is good. This, when you read the word hope in the biblical writ, is what it means. Confident, joyful expectation of something that is good. Beloved, you and I come to this table to dine and be fed, to be nourished and to be kept, to be filled with hope. A hope that says, no matter what I see around me, the God I serve is working things out. A hope that says, no matter what seems to tear down the goodness in the world, that will rise back up because the one we love says, I am with you always until the end of the world. This is a hope that defies culture. This is a hope that defies our earthly understanding. This is a hope that is served only at this table. It's the hope Jesus held as he knew his body would be broken. Hope for redemption, hope for grace, hope for forgiveness, hope for repentance that he knew would come through the act on the cross. This is the hope that he held for even that ne'er-do-well group sitting around the table. Yes, doubters and liars and betrayers. This is the hope that he holds for us. No matter who we are, no matter what is going on in our lives or in our world, this is what we come to dine on. This belief that all things, not some things, all things will cohere in the God we love and in time work their way to good. We hope not as the world hopes. We hope with a joyful, confident expectation. It's not easy. It's not even logical. But neither is it logical to have bread and wine be symbols of life everlasting and abundant. Neither was it logical that one crucified in the worst possible way on a tree would be the sign of hope. Neither did it make sense that an implement of torture would be our sign of grace. The God we love and serve does not ask for logic, instead asks for faith. Faith grounded in a hope. Beloved, if you're wondering for the connection with stewardship, here it is. We, you and I, are stewards of hope. What we understand about stewardship is that someone gives you something, entrusts you with something that you hold in honor, not of your own being, but of the generations and the people to come. We are stewards of what we may not use, stewards of what will feed those who come after us. We are those who gather and manage this hope so that it is available for the generations to come. We are keepers of something for a time beyond our own. And what it is we keep is hope. hope as we understand it in the Word of God, the joyful, confident expectation that good is coming, that good is God's plan for us. We broker hope in this place when we take the benevolent offering and offer it to people whose names you'll never know. We broker hope when we bake cookies and take the $3,000 that we earn and spend it with organizations that have nothing to do with this place. We are keepers of hope when we gather in this place and pray for folks whom we do not know. We are holders of hope, confident, joyful expectation that the God we love and serve is at work in all things, large and small. Everything you give to this church, everything you give in God's name is to make possible the stewardship of hope. Everything you do in God's name is to make possible this extension of a confidence that says, no matter what I see with my earthly eyes, my spiritual being trusts you, God, to make good on your word that all things. We are stewards of hope. And not all of it will resolve itself in ways that we can see it. Not all of it will attend to us. Somebody 170 years ago had enough hope to plant this place, and we are here. Somebody 170 years from now ought to be able to be blessed by some of the things we plant in hope of that joyful and confident expectation of good. They didn't see us. We won't see them. But God is still at work. So, beloved, I want to encourage you that in this stewardship season, all you should write a pledge card for is that which you hope, that which you have a confident and joyful expectation that God is at work in. For that's what we steward. And the work of faith and the work of hope is difficult work. Faith in the Bible, when you read it, is pistis. It can be thought of as a muscle. It's a verb. It's something you exercise. Hope is no different. And if you involve yourself in a rigorous exercise program of faith and hope, then you need to feed your body and your soul well. For the work that is at hand is hard and long, but the payoff is a confident expectation that good will come. So I ask you, in this moment, for what do you hope? For what do you hold a confident and a joyful expectation that God is working for the good? For what do you hope? Let's pray about that. God of all hope, your word tells us that you will fill us to overflowing with joy and peace, abounding in hope by the power of the Spirit. It is your promise that we will be vessels of hope to go out into the world to share with those who do not know you the good news of hope, the good news of a confident expectation. God, we are vessels of hope. You have poured into us and invited us to steward, to keep, to protect, to prosper, that we might have enough to share. So fill us now all the more. Pour in even more of your hope as we come to your table, as we know that your Son hoped that we might be on one accord and hear his word and carry it into the world, offering hope in dark and dreary places. Bless us, our God, to be good stewards, good vessels of hope, for this church and far beyond. Bless us now as we come to dine, not on finery, but on body and blood, on the symbols that remind us of your power overcoming all things. feed us, God, with your hope. We pray. We pray in your Son's name. Amen and amen.